Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Of course, the challenge is, where are you going to get it hosted? That was a challenge I had until a friend of mine recommended Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you've always wanted to make a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. And be sure to let me know when you get it started, because I'd love to listen to what you have to create. The Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast, episode 1, with an interview with Karen Etchells. I'm Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy. This podcast is produced by Patrick Howard at Four Unicorns Designs. Today we have a great interview with Karen Etchells of Innovast Digital Marketing. She's an expert on content marketing and really the real deal when it comes to social media marketing and getting a message out there. She's also the one who inspired me to create the Guy Who Knows a Guy Facebook page and website, which indirectly led to the creation of this podcast itself. So it seems like a natural fit for her to be our first interview on this show. So here's our interview with Karen Etchells of Innovast Digital Marketing. All right, so I'm here today with Karen Etchells of Innovast Design. This is our first interview, so we're kind of getting the feel here for how we're going to be doing the podcast. So thank you for taking the great risk of being in a new and experimental project.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for having me on. It's Innovast Digital Marketing.
Innovast Digital Marketing.
Yes.
What did I say?
Innovast Design. Digital marketing.
There we go. So it's a good thing you're here, because if I was interviewing you without you here, that would be a very strange interview.
Yes, it would.
So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on as our first guest is that recently in some of my other channels I've been talking about social media snake oil, I think is the term that I've used. And part of the reason that I've been talking about a lot is seeing your example of how to do it right has put into sharp relief how so many businesses don't do it right. Right. And so I wanted to get a chance to let you talk to our audience about sort of what the keys are of social media and how to really build a social media brand, and also what to look for in a good social media consultant.
Sure.
Who will really deliver results.
Sure. I think it's important if you're considering hiring somebody to handle your social media is to know their background. Know, you know, what kind of education or, you know, do they have a background in marketing, communications, even journalism? They're your storyteller. So do they know how to do that effectively? How to, reach the emotions of the end users so mm-hmm. that they will react and follow through and hopefully buy your product or service? So, having somebody that has some kind of background in communications and give me a little bit of education behind them and not just some whiz kid who thinks I know how to post to social media and that there's reason behind the posting, that there is a plan.
Yep. And I think that's the important thing, too, is that there's the technical side and the creative side. And,
right.
And I see some people out there, they got the technical side down. They're posting exactly every 27 hours like they're supposed to, or whatever the latest formula tells them. But the content they're posting isn't quality, organic,
right.
authentic content.
You don't need someone to come and just fill your feed on your behalf. I mean, posts need to be planned out for your end user. You have to know who you're marketing to. And really, your social media manager needs to get to know what's behind your business, your why, and why should people do business with you? They really need to know your end user and know what you're offering that fills a niche that differentiates you from others who are offering similar services.
Yeah, that's a hugely important thing is to be tell your story. I think one place a lot of people get in trouble is they outsource their social media. They send it to a social media company. They say, and I talk to people all the time who tell me, we have someone who handles that for us.
Right.
But someone can't handle your personal brand for you. Someone can't, post, well, I guess they could follow you around and take selfies of you. it's got to be you. It can't just be, I posted that article recently about the real estate page, and it was all generic content and content that was clearly most assuredly not posted by this individual or representing his particular, personality. And I think, people really want to, people buy from people they know, like, and trust.
No, that's very true. I mean, social media is all about relationships and relationship building. So while you can hire somebody to populate your feed, that might help to target, and that's exactly what I do. I help to communicate and reach your end user in ways that resonate with them so that they'll react. But at the same time, you need to represent yourself. You know, depending on the business that you're in, people do business with those they know, like, and trust. So you have to put yourself out there a little bit to differentiate yourself and to build relationships, you know? So.
Yep. So we're talking about background. So how did you get into the sure. social media world?
Well, back when I was a kid, I always said I wanted to be a writer. I went to URI, majored in journalism. I was too much of an introvert to interview people at the time, so that kind of gave me a sense of struggle early on. Ended up working for the Postal Service, and I was a letter carrier. I was still in communications. I was delivering communications at that point, but in not the way that I really felt fulfilled. Ended up going to school at night. I went to Rhode Island School of Design. Back then, it was computer graphics. Web design wasn't yet a thing, but it became a thing while I was at Rhode Island School of Design. And the first web design class that they offered, I took. The gentleman who taught that class was a web designer with the Providence Journal, built their very first website. And I ended up, when he left that position, I got his job. So kind of put me into the world of website design. We were working back then with Raw Code. Gave me the technical background to build a website. But more so, as time went on, I combined that with my love for communications and storytelling in journalism. And it gave me an outlet through the computers. I could see that was the wave of the future. That was back in the late 90s. And I've just ridden the wave ever since. Most of my jobs, I've worked for myself and worked for others. But, you know, I've been a marketing director for an automotive group. I was the online editor at the Norwich Bulletin and, of course, a web designer with the Providence Journal. So a combination of all these experiences. And before I launched Innovast, I was an internet marketing specialist with a IT company in Rhode Island. So a combination of these different roles gave me the experience and always working with business owners, you know, and that's what I really love about my job is that I always have business owners come to me and we help them to work on a strategy to reach their audiences. But every project is different. Everyone is unique and everyone has a story of their own.
So I think when we first met, you were talking about content marketing. And that's, I think, so what sort of got my attention while we ended up talking more is that you talked about content marketing and social media, not just social media marketing, but you have to talk a little about how content's important.
Yeah, as time has evolved, it's, you know, at one point everybody just had to have a website. If you didn't have a website, you weren't really in business. It's replaced the yellow pages. It's the internet is the go-to place where people, you know, look for resources and information, and everybody has to have a website. Well, now that everybody's got a website, now you need content that's really going to stand out and differentiate you. That content needs to be well-crafted, and it needs to be delivered in a way that people will respond to it. So, for instance, you know, if you put your story together or you put a piece that makes, you know, talks about what makes you different, about what you have to offer, well, at the end of that content, don't forget your calls to action. You want to make sure that after people have consumed it, whether it's video or audio or written word, that you lead your reader to do something. You know, download our white paper or sign up for our mailing list or buy now. So what you really want is to drive sales, ultimately.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, with content, it's about you need to draw people. And this is something I always like to point out, because a lot of people say, oh, I don't understand this social media thing, as if it's some arcane magic that was brought down by aliens from outer space, and it's a whole different language. And fundamentally, marketing is marketing. You find your audience, you put information in front of them that gets their attention, and then you create a brand awareness and ultimately create a call to action that creates
exactly.
And it doesn't matter if you're doing that in a community publication or if you're doing that on the internet or if you're doing that on television. It's the same basic model. And one thing I like to point out is if you can't understand how the marketing platform that someone's selling you works, it's probably because it doesn't. It's not because they're smarter than you.
That makes sense.
It's because it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I always like to point that out, but it's really important to have that, you know, have that kind of content that's relevant. And now, one I know with probably a lot of your clients, they may not know what to put up, and maybe they're kind of struggling to come up with content. But there's some people, I think, who also may be self-censoring, that they could totally write a blog post a day, but they're thinking, oh, I don't want to put that out there if it's not perfect. I want to make sure.
That's very true.
And so would you say it's good to put out a high quantity of content as long as it's decent quality?
Well, it's important to put yourself out there if you're going to connect with people. That's one thing that's important, and about what makes your offerings different. You need to be able to connect. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about perfection. We're all human, and people make mistakes. And so mm-hmm. if you're going to try, for instance, a Facebook Live, so many people shy away from that. I do myself. I'm afraid of it, too. I'm an introvert by nature, but I have to put myself out there because I know that it works. But don't worry about, how you look, that your hair is not right, that you said a word wrong. You know, nobody's really looking at that as much as you are. So Put yourself out there. You know, just be a human being. Be authentic. That's so important, just to be yourself.
Yeah, and actually go step beyond that. It's not just people won't judge you on your hair not being right or saying the wrong word. They find that to be authentic. People are tired of, they're tired of artificial, fake.
Canned, polished, it's not real.
If they wanted something canned, they go with a national company.
Right.
They want to
work
with a local person who says and ah. And, when I was talking to Patrick about how we're going to do the podcast, he was saying, I don't like to edit too much. I don't want to edit out the ums and the ahs and the... Yeah. And that kind of stuff, because it should sound like people talking.
Just having a normal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Normal people. Little they suspect they can't see me, so they don't know. But, relatively normal people.
There you go.
Talking. And because that's who you want. You want someone you can identify with and connect
Very
with.
Very true.
I find financial advisors tend to have a lot of trouble with being human.
Well, they have a lot of regulations, so they have to be concerned about how they put themselves out there.
Yeah, like but even, you listen to their elevator, you put five financial advisors in a row, and if they were to swap their names over their elevator pitches, you wouldn't know, because so many of them do it the same. And when I talk to financial advisors, I always emphasize, you're regulated, you can't talk about your products differently, because you are literally all selling the same products.
Yeah.
You're selling the same stocks repackaged differently, but you're doing it a different way. And what I want to know about a financial advisor is, if I send you a text message and ask you a question, will I hear back from you in an hour or a week? Will you have... No, I think we had a... put the dog to sleep here. will you have an answer? Will you be able to explain things in a way I understand? Will you...
That's true.
...take the time to understand me? And so I don't care so much about your product, because your products are the same as all the other products. It's a delivery method. Same thing with car salesmen, realtors, anyone like that. They have differentiated.
You're going to give your money to this person. You want to make sure mm-hmm. that, number one, they know their stuff, and number two, you can trust them.
Yep. But you're really hiring a service.
Yeah.
You could buy the same house from 50 different realtors, but it's the experience of how you buy the house going to make the difference.
Right,
that's really where that authenticity makes a difference. And if you're doing that Facebook Live, or you're doing the video or the content, If it feels authentic and it feels like you're talking to a real live person, then that's really what's going to...
That's important in creating content as well. There are certain specialty niche areas that you might serve that differentiate you. So putting out content that represents what you have to offer that's set you apart is important to put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I help clients to do, is to package their message that's uniquely theirs and put it out there in a way that has calls to action in place, that's engaging content that people want to consume, not like they're being sold to, but that you're helping them. You're offering value that helps them to get closer, whether it's, to improve their finances or, to find that house of their dreams, whatever service that they're engaging with, that you're putting out there content that shows that you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I think... And done well, which of course you do, you want to create a persona, an identity that people can really identify with.
Absolutely.
And with a small business, the owner can be that personality. But I think about, most times I do business, of course, I'm the guy who knows a guy. So generally, I know someone to work with. And every once in a while, the awkward experience of not knowing someone to go to, and then going around and being like, they're all just... business fronts. I don't know who I connect with. And so sometimes it ends up being the one who I've been watching their social media. I've been engaging with that persona. And sometimes you go in and it's not the same.
Yeah.
And that's where authenticity is important.
True,
if you're pitching one identity and then people walk in, you know, if you're super friendly and engaging and honest and nice, and then you've got surly, rude, inattentive staff,
true,
then you get that disconnect. But
very true. It's so funny, you know, I can remember a few projects where I've been helping a company to put together their website, and the owner is shy and they don't want their picture on the website, and I try to explain why that is a mistake, because people want to know who they are doing business mm-hmm. with. And if you want somebody to pick up the phone, give them a little bit of sense of comfort in knowing who will talk to them at the other end. And if you give them some openness, then they're more likely to want to communicate with you.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, a lot of people, and you consider, you know, people say millennials hate the phone. Well, the oldest millennials are 38 now. So millennials are in their 20s and 30s, and they're afraid of the phone. And so, you know, that's very important to have that identity. So if you have a video from the owner and you know what voice you might hear, you're a little more comfortable. Because
right.
otherwise, you hear ring, ring. And it's weird to think about this, but potential customers are sometimes calling anxious about what's going to happen when you answer the phone.
Right.
And
who are they going to talk to?
Yep.
And what will they say? Mm-hmm. And how do they ask for what they want? But if you give them a little bit of your personality and say, hey, I'm human, you know, give mm-hmm. me a call and,
yep.
and I'll help you out, then you take away some of that anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of it comes out of, you know, getting into your customer's shoes and,
sure.
and thinking about where they're coming from. But yeah, you definitely need to have that kind of – I look at a lot of different websites of
yeah.
different businesses, and so many of them are generic and
right.
and that's one of the things to watch out for with
yeah.
With some of those web design companies, is they will make you a generic contractor website, and it will look
yeah.
just like the contract down the street, but with your logos instead of their logos.
And that's not going to do much
yeah.
for you. They
yep.
want to know that you're a good guy they can trust and that you're going to do quality work.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to get that across if you look like everybody else?
Absolutely, yeah. And
yeah.
people want to share. Yeah, people want to know, you know what you know. Also, that's
exactly
that's one of the things we do. You know, with the Groton Missing Neighbors, we have the expert program, so people can actually share their expert articles.
Yeah,
you can see that.
Yeah.
I saw Gary Vaynerchuk talk recently, and he was talking about how he takes everything he knows and puts it out on his channels.
Yeah.
So that there is nothing he knows that he hasn't shared publicly, and yet for a lot of those industries, you know, real estate, for example, if a realtor were to share everything they know with me, the only thing I know at the end is, wow, real estate sounds really complicated. I
yes.
definitely don't want to do it myself.
I do that myself. I put out tips on my social media pages that if a business owner were to follow it and implement those tips, they could do it without me. But the business owner that I'm looking for is the one that's busy running their business, that has so much on their plate, they need a little bit of expertise and some help in putting it out. And so I don't mind putting it all out there, because then they realize that I know my stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one's going to watch every video of yours and then become you.
Yeah.
You know, there's something going to watch every video. And I think that's some people are afraid of. They think that...
Right.
They think if I put all the information out there, then they're going to steal it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you're a roofer, they're not going to see you. You could do how-to videos on how to redo your roof.
Right.
And 95% of people are going to say, I don't want to get on my roof.
Yeah,
I can fall
exactly.
off.
Exactly.
Like,
that's
super dangerous.
That's why they're looking for someone with that expertise and that skill, so they don't have to. And what they are looking to find on your social media is that you have credibility, that you're an expert in your field, and that they can trust doing business with you.
Absolutely. That,
yep.
that is what it all is all about. So one question. So I'm trying to come up with the question I'm going to ask everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to experiment with this question. And we'll see how it works. So if it works, then we'll hear this next interview. And if not, my fault. I'll come up with a better
all
question.
Right.
So the question is, if you ran into yourself at the beginning of your career, what advice would you give early Karen?
Oh, I know that answer, because to me, because I was born an introvert and I was pretty happy sitting in front of the screen, and that's where I produce my content, that's where I work. But one of the things that I have learned over the years is that if I want to be successful in business, I need to connect with other people and learn from them. You don't know everything in your field as much as you think you do, especially in digital marketing. I can say I'm an expert in certain areas, but if someone came to me with a project that wasn't a perfect fit for me to produce, I know somebody who can help me out. And and people in my field are like that. They're supportive of each other because it's always changing. And so I found that finding a mentor, finding other people in business who have been there, done that, reaching out and getting that support, it's there for the asking. It's there in building the relationships. And I think that's why what you do is so great, Michael, in that you're out there connecting people. Those relationships, don't shy away from them. Put yourself out there. The networking events that I go to now, you know, when I first started networking, I'd be against the wall. And, you know, sometimes my husband's a natural introvert. So I'd say, Dave, you want to come with me to this thing? Because he would open all the conversations, right? I mean, and this was even in the past. Dave and I have been together 10 years. So in the past 10 years, I have learned so much on how reaching out and connecting with others has really brought my business forth, you know, depending on other people. We're a network, and having a strong network can be so beneficial. So, yeah, what I do is sitting behind the computer. That's where I produce my work. But in connecting with others has really brought my business to the forefront.
All right. Well, yeah, that's great. That's hugely important, especially with social media. I always point that out to people is that the part-time social media expert is not an expert. Because the field changes so rapidly. The algorithms change constantly. Yeah. The SEO rules change constantly. If you're not on top of it, if you haven't looked into it in a week, you're no longer an expert. You're out of date.
I spend probably 2 or 3 hours a day just consuming what is new in my field. And so that I've got to keep on top of that. And if, you know, like I said, if somebody comes to me for a certain service that's not one that I provide every day but falls under digital media, I have somebody I know who is an expert there. And that just helps me to, you know, please satisfy my customers more fulfilling way.
You know a guy.
Yeah.
And I always point out guy is a gender non-specific term as I use it. So you are also a guy who knows a guy.
I am.
So I imagine you have a website.
I do have a website. It is www.innovast.com. INNOVAST.com.
And what does Innovast mean? Does there a...
Innovast is it means innovative and vast. There's no limit to the innovation. So like I said earlier, I've had all kinds of entrepreneurs come to me, small business people, and the way in which I help each one is a little bit different. Every project is unique, and their marketing plan and the approach that will work with their target audience is always slightly different. So it's always interesting. It's always dynamic. This field is ever changing. And I just love the challenges that come forth.
Yeah, I love the name.
Yeah.
I was just curious. I was wondering if there was a, from the old family name, the Innovast of France.
Well, there is a story behind it. There actually is a story behind it. I used to work for a company that was Innovast Corp. Back in Rhode Island, and this was in the early 2002. And one day we went to work, and I was their director of web development back then, and the doors were locked.
So
I was out of a job. And one thing I realized even back then is when it comes to search engine optimization, incoming links are very important. And I always liked the name. I thought it was very innovative. So when that business closed, it was a year or two later, I checked on it and it was unavailable. That domain name was not taken and it had nobody was doing anything with it. And I bought it.
Well, there you
and
go.
I never knew what I was going to do with it, but I really liked the name and I bought it.
It's kind of how I ended up with MichaelWhitehouse.org.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was available?
It was available, and I bought it.
And it's your name.
And it's my name, so.
So, no, it works. So that domain had a ton of, they had built websites, and they had a ton of incoming links, and it had a little bit of substance behind it on Google.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, it's always, if you can find something available to take over.
Yeah.
That's often where business success comes in, just kind of being aware.
Yeah, just being aware of what's happening around you.
Preparation meeting opportunity.
Right,
so,
right.
All right, well. Well, thank you very much for being on the show and helping us field test it. I think the question worked well, so we're going to use it again.
Yes.
So you've proven that out well, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right, that was a great interview with Karen. Very excited to be able to interview her. There's really three people who are responsible for making this podcast happen, directly or indirectly. One is Lisa Saunders, who I'll be interviewing in episode 2, because she got me to write the book, The Guy Who Knows a Guy. Karen got me to do the website and the Facebook page, really inspired that. And then, of course, Patrick, who you heard from last week and is sitting right across from me right here.
That's me.
That's him. He's right here.
Pushing buttons, turning knobs.
Yes, saying, hey, you should run a podcast and I'll make it sound awesome for you. And sure enough, he is, because I'm hearing it as we're producing it. It does sound awesome.
Sounds pretty good, right?
And the best thing is, you, if you want to do a podcast, you could hire him.
Yeah, you should hire me.
He's available for hire with his company, Four Unicorns. Unicorns with an S.
That's right, because there's four of them.
Four Unicorns Design.
It's actually me and the wife and the kids. That's the four unicorns.
Oh, that makes sense. The four. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually Five Guys. Actually, I think it was their five sons.
Really?
It was named after Five Guys.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. On the podcast, How I Built This, they interviewed the father of the Five Guys and told the whole story of it.
I should listen to that one.
Much of which I forgot.
I already listened to like 10 million podcasts. I don't need to listen anymore.
It's a good one because you can just kind of, you can go through and be like, oh, Five Guys, I'm curious about their story.
Right, right, right.
Or Canva, I listened to that one today. Right. You know, oh, I'm curious. I just discovered the Canva website.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, I wonder how that got made. It's Australian. I didn't realize.
I didn't know that.
Yep. I think it's still in Australia. And it's valued at $1 billion.
Jesus.
American dollars, not Australian dollars.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of dollars.
I hope to have that many dollars.
Yeah, that is more dollars than the Guy Who Knows a Guy brand is currently valued at.
Hopefully not for long.
Yes. Yeah. I'll find a way to do that somehow. Speaking of a business without money, I got a question from a listener, or a soon to be listener since we're recording the first podcast. But the question sent in by Elizabeth Sadie was, what type of new business is best for someone who has limited money to invest? Which is a great question. I'm sure she's hoping for me to say, well, these are the industries that have low cost, low barriers to entry.
That's what I'm hoping you're
going to
say.
And that is not the answer I'm going to give, because that is not my area specialty. The answer I'm going to give is the business you want to start is the one that you're passionate about, the one that you'll be excited about and be able to put the time in, and that when it gets tough and you've been grinding it out for 6 or 12 or 18 or 24 months, you still say, this is still fun. I'm not making money yet, but it's still fun. And that's what's important. And then you got that money problem. So obviously, you probably don't want to get into heavy manufacturing if you don't have any money, because that's kind of hard to do. There's not really any way around that.
It's expensive.
Yeah. But there's often ways to take the part that you like, the part that you're good at, and leverage that differently. So for example, the Guy Who Knows a Guy brand, which I'm currently building out with a podcast, website, Facebook page, all that speaking, I don't have any money to back it with, really. I mean, I got $100 from my father for my birthday that I'm going to buy some recording equipment with.
Cha-ching.
Yep. But I don't exactly have a major bankroll. I don't have investors. But what you can do is find other ways to give value. For example, great example of that right here, this podcast itself. The way this came about was that I didn't have the resources to hire someone to do a podcast. So I didn't try to do it. I said, oh, maybe I'll do a Facebook Live or YouTube Live or whatever. Of course, that has a huge platform risk because Facebook changes their algorithm. Used to be you did a video, you got 50 people watching no matter what. Then 6 months later, Facebook wasn't pushing videos hard. And now you could have 1,000 followers. You'll get, 10 people watching if you're lucky.
Wow.
And it's changing. And so that's danger with it. So that's why podcast scores better. And the way this podcast came about is I posted, hey, who'd be interested in a Facebook Live? And of course, Patrick commented on that and said, you should do a podcast. I got you. I'll set it up for you.
Mm-hmm.
And his incentive in it is he gets to have access to my audience.
Truth.
In which he can show off what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a matter of saying, oh, I do a great podcast. It's while you're listening to this podcast, the one who produced it is this guy right here.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Designs.
My wife was actually kind of pissed.
Why is that?
She was like, you're going to do it for free? And I was like, yeah, I'm doing it for exposure.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time finding people that want to pay me.
Yep.
So at the very least, I can go out and do it for free and actually put it out there and have something to show people.
And of course, that gets to the running joke about exposure. Right. There's a comic on Facebook where someone says, well, I can't pay you, but I can give you exposure. And the guy says, whoa, that's great because my rent is 800 exposures. And the place that joke comes from is, of course, most people abuse the concept of exposure.
Okay.
They say, well, I can't pay you, but I can't pay you to play for 12 of my friends in the basement. But, you'll get great exposure to my 12 friends in the basement of my house, which like, okay, unless your friends are producers or promoters,
right?
That's not exposure.
Right.
Exposure has to actually give you exposure to people that you might want to get exposure to. So, for example, a podcast targeted towards entrepreneurs and business people who are trying to promote their business in a low-budget way might be a good audience for a graphic designer and podcast producer.
That might be a pretty good audience.
Yep. And my main business, publishing the magazines, Groton Mystic Neighbors and Flanders Neighbors and Stonington Mystic Neighbors, I sell exposure. People write large checks to get exposure to the audience we reach. The Super Bowl, when Bud Light was paying $5 million for 30 seconds, they were paying for exposure. So they weren't just working for, they were paying for exposure, but hey, it was actual exposure.
So I thought of something.
Yeah.
You were talking about the Super Bowl stuff. And so what was it? Was it Bud Light and Game of Thrones together?
Yep.
And I thought to myself, now who paid who for that team up? Did Bud Light pay Game of Thrones or HBO? Or was it the other way around? Or did they just call it even? They just did it for free.
Yep. And that's the... And that's
they both went double. They, you know what I mean?
Absolutely,
like they both
yeah.
paid for the spot equally or something. But
yeah, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Is there's places there's often this assumption of someone's buying, someone's selling.
Right.
But in any exchange, there's value. I posted an Instagram video recently talking about when you're selling, if you have a quality product, you have an obligation to do a great sales presentation to your prospect.
Right.
Because if you don't, and it really was quality. Now, if you're just selling them junk or selling them something they can get anywhere, it doesn't matter. But if you have something unique, for example, I have with Groton Mystic Neighbors, we have access to that affluent, desirable market that people want to reach. And if a business works with me, they can build their business the way they can't anywhere else. And if I'm having an off day and I don't explain it well, and I kind of like, well, yeah, it's pretty good as a magazine, I guess people are getting it or something. And they say, sure, no. They miss out. Not only do I miss out on getting them selling them a sponsorship, but they miss out on reaching that audience
right.
because I did them a disservice.
Right.
So there really is an exchange of value. And our assumption is whoever is giving the money is being sold to, and whoever's getting the money is doing the selling.
Right.
But often there really is an exchange of value in both directions. And so if you're looking to build a business and you don't have a lot of money to be buying stuff with, then you can do it in other ways. And the reason that more successful businesses do have money, don't do this kind of exchange as often as it takes effort. You need to find the right person. You need to find someone at the right stage in their career or business at the right stage in their development. And then you often have to work harder with them. You need to make sure they're getting value.
Right.
You need to make sure to promote them. If I was just paying Patrick to be my producer,
right.
then I wouldn't have to make sure to mention Four Unicorns Designs 2,700 times during the course of the podcast. Yeah, like, he's not keeping a tally here, but like, you haven't mentioned me enough times.
No.
But I feel the obligation to.
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off. So, I'm not writing a check, but I'm writing.
But it works, right? Because
yep.
the motivation's there.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just all money, then there wouldn't be any motivation.
Yeah. Yep. And actually,
which is fine. I'll take money all day.
Yeah. Right. And that works great. And that, once you get to that certain point, that works really well.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I've been working with Anytime Fitness.
Right, right.
And we basically did an exchange. They gave me a membership in exchange for kind of showing my journey and showing some off their equipment and showing what I liked about them, because it's a great place to work out.
Yeah.
It's a very, very straightforward kind of place. It's open all the time, which is huge. I just happened to go there outside of the hours when the other gym. I have free access to a weight room or
right.
a workout room in my apartment, but it's open from 9 to 9. And the times I want to go are 7 in the morning, 9 o'clock at night,
right.
3 in the morning. So
they didn't give you like a key card to get in or something?
Well, once they renovate, they will eventually have
yeah.
that. But currently they're only open when the clubhouse is open.
Right.
So I've been going. And one thing he said was, well, my concern is that if you're not paying for it, you won't feel the need to come. And I said, my obligation here is much greater than paying for a membership. The memberships aren't that expensive. So that amount of money is not going to make me say, oh, I better go.
Right.
But the fact that I told him I was going to do it.
Yep.
And he exchanged me a membership for going out and doing it. Well, now I've got to do it, or I need to explain to him, because he can watch. Like, I'm on Instagram and Facebook every time I go there.
Yep.
He can tell if I haven't been there.
That's true.
So it created that account, creates the accountability, which is much stronger than just money.
Yep.
A promise was made. And apparently not everyone keeps to those kinds of promises. It's amazing how many people just don't bother to show up to appointments or interview ghosting is a big thing now.
Interview ghosting?
Yes, like you said, a job interview and then don't show up to it. This is a huge problem employers.
The interviewee doesn't
show
up?
The interviewee.
Why wouldn't you do that? Like, you don't want the job? Maybe you
already
got
another job. Yeah, it's a tight labor market. But, you know, you call and say, hey, I got a job this morning. I'm not going to be coming in. Like, that's cool. But, yeah, I was listening to, I think it was on Marketplace, they're interviewing someone who owns a business in New York. And so she had 12 interviews lined up for a day, and two of them showed up.
Wow.
And I've heard this from local business owners through the chamber that it's probably just people not showing up. And it's because the labor market's so tight. Wow. So, you know, if you have 5 interviews as a job seeker, you'll get one of them. But the problem is, you know, when the economy changes, sometimes you're not going to be remembered. You're just a name on a list. But every once in a while, it comes back around, and you will have to retread the same path and suddenly discover that it is not as easy walking as it was before.
Nope.
So, you know, that's why I always make it a point to at least tell someone if I'm going to be not going to be there, going to be late, no matter what. And it's probably partly because I work sort of in sales, and so I feel that. But at the same time, like, regardless, you know, you're working with people in the community.
Keep your word.
Yes, because you're going to see these people again.
Yeah.
They live near you.
Yeah.
They have your resume. They know where you live. So that was the question. And my other concept was to kind of do a lesson today, but sort of folded that in. Is actually, I got this question and said, oh, I want to talk about that exposure thing.
Yeah.
Because that's often, I think, really misunderstood. That when people say, oh, I don't want to work for exposure, I don't want to work for free. And so that almost has become dogmatic.
Right.
Don't work for free. Never work for free. Don't undervalue. Well, don't undervalue, but don't undervalue what you're getting in exchange as well.
Right.
The photographer that we have with the magazine works in exchange for a free ad, which is a pretty decent value for the time she does it. And of course, she also gets the exposure of being the photographer.
Right.
So, you know, that's some really powerful exposure in exchange for, she does fantastic work. You know, we're really lucky to have her. But it's a great exchange for everybody. Everybody wins.
Right.
And so when you have this dogmatic, you know, once you start working, always value your work, always get paid for it. Well, how do you prove to anyone that you can do good work if you can't do good work? I mean, there's some things, like we were talking about with the graphic design, for you, Patrick, of you know, make your resume a designed piece,
right,
and make it really pop, and people say, oh, there's some design,
right.
But with a podcast, there's a difference between producing your own podcast and producing someone else's.
Yeah,
you need a host of a podcast to show off how you produce a podcast,
right?
Which I can provide for you,
right?
You also need a different audience than your own audience.
That's right.
So I can provide that as well,
right?
So that creates an exchange, and thus everyone wins.
That's why I'm here, man. Yeah,
but then you have to. But then don't get taken advantage of either, you know.
Right.
And usually you can tell if as I said in the interview with Karen, if you don't understand what someone's proposing, it's not because you're not savvy enough to get it. It's because it's probably not real. if you're trying to, like, wait, you're having a 40-person event, you want my band to play for free, but I'm going to get exposure? Who are these 40 people? Like,
right.
How am I going to expose? Well, you'll get out there. Okay, you're doing like a YouTube video? Well, no. Are you going to record it in some way? No. Are these 40 people important? No. I don't understand. Well, you just don't understand exposure. No, I think you're just offering me, I think you're just trying to get a free show.
You want me to get up and practice in front of these people?
Yeah,
you want.
that's pretty much it. But at the same time, it's like, hey, I got a bunch of friends who are industry professionals, and I'd love for you to come, and I don't have a budget, but I really think some of these people are people you're going to want to meet, and I'll make sure to introduce you.
These people work for Sony Records.
Yeah, and I'll make a point of introducing you and saying some nice things to put you in a positive light.
Right.
Well, that's what exposure really is.
Yep.
That's the exposure that actually can pay the rent
indirectly.
So that's really the power of it. So I also have a recommendation. So every week I'm going to recommend either a book or a podcast because people, you know, if you're like Patrick, you need to listen to more podcasts.
Yeah.
You only listen to 50 or 60 of them a day. Yeah.
I think I'm subscribed to like 12 or 13 podcasts right now.
Yeah. I probably got 20 or 25. But of course, I also spend half my day in the car.
Yeah.
So I could get through.
Yeah, you could get through a lot.
I probably listen to, I don't listen to the radio. I listen to Pandora.
Yeah,
I don't
listen, yep.
And I listen to NPR, but I hardly listen to NPR anymore because now I'm listening to podcasts. Many of which are from NPR.
I was just
going to
say, half of them probably NPR podcasts.
But otherwise, you know, my schedule, I'll listen to 10 minutes of a show. I'm like, oh, it's a great show. And I have to get out of the car.
Yeah.
I wonder what they were talking about guess I missed it.
Yep.
So now this is the podcast, and it's great. But the one I definitely think you should check out is the Gary Vee Audio Experience. And if you listen to that podcast and listen to it, listen to the episodes, they're about 2 or 3 weeks behind where you're listening to on my podcast, you'd be like, oh, that's where he got it from. One thing I always freely admit is most of the things I say are not my ideas. I have gleaned them from someone else, and most of the things anyone says are probably not their ideas. They gleaned them from someone else. But a lot of what I get is from Gary Vee. Now, I will warn you, Gary Vee has a, I believe he calls it a Jersey style, which can also be described as swearing like a sailor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He apparently is putting out a new line of curse-free Gary Vee.
Wow.
Because a lot of people say, like, I want to introduce this to my 12-year-old son because you got some great ideas, but I don't want to introduce this to my 12-year-old son. So that is apparently coming. But
it's got a nice ring to it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. I don't even know if that's what he's calling it. It makes me remembering. Although he maybe, you know, one of his fans will hear the podcast and be like, you should call it curse-free Gary Vee.
That's good.
But yeah, the Gary Vee Audio Experience is – It kind of summarizes some of his content, and there's some just really good ideas that he shares, many of which you'll probably hear through my podcast as well. But I highly recommend that one. And then I also have a question of the week for you to send to me. So you can email me at michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. There's no the, but sorry, there is one the guy who knows. No, there's no this.
There's no this.
No this.
Guy who knows a guy.
Yeah, it's the free.
The free.
Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes mistype my own website, which is why I point this out. It is not theguywhoknowsaguy.com. It is guywhoknowsaguy.com. It starts with a G.
Well, you know, Facebook used to be the Facebook.
It did, yes. Yeah, I am not fancy enough to have both the and without the.
Yeah.
The.
Sorry. I want to interrupt. You can send audio clips to us.
Yes, you can send audio clips. Yes, thank you for interrupting. See, that's why I have you on the mic there, because you say smart, clever things.
That's why I'm here.
So, and generally, most phones either have a voice recorder automatically by default, or you can easily go to your Play Store or iStore, iPhone. I don't have an iPhone, but whatever your Apple Store.
I think it's just called the App Store.
It's the App Store.
Yeah.
Anyway, wherever you get apps, you can just go to a back alley, someone will download it for you. I'm sure it'll be fine. Wherever you get apps, you can get a audio recorder pretty easily. Yeah. In fact, if you can't figure that out, text me. Tell me not to answer the phone. You can leave me a voicemail, and I can get it that way.
Yeah, we could figure that out.
Yeah. But the email is michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. You can send it in text form, or you can send it in a voice form. Voice is always best, because then you get your voice on the air, and it sounds like you're calling in.
It's fun.
Yeah, you get that whole radio feel. So the question is, I haven't read the question yet, right? Yeah.
No, you have.
Question
not.
Is, yeah, no one would know I have ADD. I have it so well managed that
I had no idea.
No one can tell. It's amazing. The question is, if you could be introduced to anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Ooh.
Yes, I figure that kind of fits with the whole thing. Occasionally, what I'll do when I'm it's usually when I'm feeling bad. If I'm having a bad day,
yeah,
I'll go out on Facebook and I'll say, who's looking for an introduction? Who has some connection that they would like? And I'll get 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 people saying, oh, I'm looking to find this. I'm looking to find that. And generally 40 to 60% of them, I'm able to connect with someone.
Telling you folks, sometimes. He actually is amazing.
So sometimes more than that. And it's just kind of like, I figure as ways to cope with having a bad day go,
yeah,
connecting people to resources they need, it's basically, and it's not that I've, you know, I'm just a tremendous philanthropist who helps many people. I enjoy making connections. It's my hobby, mm-hmm, and that I enjoy using it. So it just happens I have a hobby that helps people. And it's funny that I feel the need to like humble myself talking about this, to not say like, oh, I actually do know everybody. I'm amazing.
Well, you know what? But I'm going to do it for you. So, So you know Farrah, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's made an appearance on. Actually, we had her in the studio today for my other podcast, and my podcast with my wife. And so I told her that I was producing a podcast, mm-hmm, for you.
Do you want to mention what your podcast is?
It's Complexities Podcast.
Okay.
My wife and I run a complex. It centers around mental health, and it's really fun. So anyway, I told Farrah that I was running a podcast for you. And you had said that that I was going to be able to come to the conference,
mm-hmm,
and we, yep, you know, you'd be like introducing, yep, me and all these things. And she's like, that's totally worth it. She's like, Michael knows everybody. She's like, the exposure you're going to get by doing this podcast for him is totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. That's glad to hear that my name's getting around. Speaking of the conference, which I totally forgot to mention before, I'm glad you reminded me.
Uh-huh.
The conference I should be mentioning everywhere.
It's like I do podcasting for a living.
It almost is, yes. This guy's amazing. So the conference is the Southeast Connecticut Business Conference, which is April 25th at Ender's Island. So just to go spend a day at Ender's Island is worth it.
Totally.
Yeah, breakfast and lunch are included. And we're going to have 9 speakers. Actually, may have 10 speakers. I'm working on
the
schedule. So I may be, I don't want to say what I'm doing yet until I confirm with the speaker that I'm moving, but I may be moving one of the speakers to a kind of keynote spot.
That reminds me, I owe you some products.
Okay. Oh, yes. Yeah. The promotional stuff for that.
Yeah.
Yep. And we're still waiting for actually one of the headshots from one of our speakers. Yes.
God.
Or we may or may not have the speaker. We'll see.
We'll see.
But we have 9 or possibly 10 speakers, multiple tracks. And it's everything for Karen Etchels, who you just heard from, is one of our speakers. I'm going to be talking about kind of sales basics for non-salespeople, which is pretty much everyone who runs a business needs to sell, and most don't know how.
Right.
So I'll kind of make that accessible. Also talking about, we'll have someone talking about accounting, someone talking about payroll stuff, benefits, various marketing concepts, writing your book. Things like that. So if you go to the website scbc.guywhoknowsaguy.com, that stands for Southern Connecticut Business Conference, if you can't remember the letters, scbc.guywhoknowsaguy.com, you can find all these details and get your tickets. They're only $97, and that includes breakfast and lunch, multiple tracks of programming, and all the networking.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a structured networking event at the end of it in which we're going to draw randomly. Everyone's going to put a business card in. And the prize is you're going to get to stand up and say, this is what I'm looking for. Who here might be able to connect me in a room of 50 or 60 local business people?
Love it.
Yep. And then afterwards, open networking when you actually get to go talk to those people and connect with them and make that. So it's going to be great value. And great exposure. And the concept of it is there's all these lunch and learns, which are great events and usually a great speaker. But a 45-minute lunch and learn knocks 3 hours out of your day. You know, you can't schedule anything after 11 because you don't want it to run over. And then you can't schedule anything until 2 because you got to get back. And, and so all morning you're like, well, I don't want to really get started on this project because I got that lunch and learn to go to. And then you get back and it's 2 o'clock and day's almost over. And I'm making a few phone calls. And so if you're going to knock your day out, knock your day out.
Yeah.
And you might as well get a day of value. So that's the concept of it is just be it's 10 lunch and learns duct taped together. In one super powerful ball of learning and networking.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, so it's gonna be a really great event, and there's actually only 49 tickets available. So if people are interested in going, then they should definitely get them soon because we don't have that many, and we will probably sell out. So, but again, the question for the week is: if you could be introduced to anyone in the world, who would it be, and why? Send your answer to Michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. We'll be reading your questions in episode 3 because we're actually marathon recording episodes 0, 1, and 2 all in one night so we can fill the feed and get it launched here. So if you don't hear your answers in episode 2, it's because we didn't get them until after we'd recorded that.
Right. This still has to be put out.
Yeah. Yeah. If I somehow got an answer to that before we record episode 2, I'll be really freaked out.
That would be weird.
Because there's only 2 people hearing this episode by the time we're recording episode 3. So I'm Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy. This is the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast. Produced by Patrick Howard of 4 Unicorns Designs. And if you have a podcast that you would like to get produced or need design work done as well, then you should contact Patrick at 4 Unicorns Designs. Thank you for listening and do something awesome today. JV Connect is coming up quick, December 12th and 13th. If you are looking for a networking event where you can meet people who aren't looking to just pitch you or take, but actually want to collaborate, build strategic partnerships, joint ventures, maybe even find some mentors, some coaches, people to support you, accountability partners, who knows? If you're looking for good people
in an environment that's not stressful, but is set up to give you a lot of great connections in an efficient amount of time, check out JV Connect. jv-connect.com. That's jv-connect.com. December 12th and 13th, 2023. We'll see you there.